The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/JURY. Support the show and get your custom RSS feed so you can get bonus content up to and including the Friday Hype Train. That is our several-hour call-in show that is always a blast. You never know what's going to happen. Perfect background audio. If you love this show, then the Friday Hype Train, you just have it in your podcast. Put it on in the background when you're doing something else. I guarantee you, you're going to have a great time. Patreon.com/JURY. Also, we went out on tour, Brian Brushwood and myself, and Tony B. Casti, a.k.a. Neshcom, a.k.a. Brycus, a.k.a. Bryce Castillo. He's got a couple of names. Some of them you can call him to his face. We all went on tour, Los Angeles and San Diego. If you came out, thank you so much. We had great turnouts for both shows. It was amazing. Great special guests. Shout out to Scott Sigler, who literally flew across the country to surprise the audience in the San Diego show. That was amazing. People came from all over the place. But we had merch that was exclusive to the shows. We're blowing it out online right now. The sticker bags are already sold out, so you can't get those. But if you go to bit.ly/nightattackmerch, you can get fanny packs. Fanny packs, fanny packs. Ooh, wow, fanny packs. They are available for you right now. bit.ly/nightattackmerch or clickclackfannypack.com. That is where you can get a Night Attack branded fanny pack. All right. That about wraps it up for all the plugs. Oh, what do you say that me and you just go ahead and do the damn thing? My God, I don't know what. I'm literally just the worst at, like, my job is now full time to use my voice. You would think that I would protect my voice. I would do things that are good for my voice, that are good for my throat, because if I am not able to talk, I am not able to make literally any money. It is the either direct or indirect way that I make literally all the money that I make. And yet, after coming off the road, literally all I've done is yell and then randomly sing opera until I cough like a cougher person. I don't know, a stoner? Somebody who's taken let that bong chamber get a little bit too milky white. Y'all ever do that? Is this just a me thing? You're smoking a bong, and you just like you're letting it kind of build up there, and then you look into the chamber, and you're like, okay, this now looks like yellow. This looks like it was a dairy, milky kind of white, and now it has turned into like what actual milk looks like before it's pasteurized. Shout out to all my 4-H motherfuckers listening. Where's the Venn diagram on that? 4-H motherfuckers who also smoke hella weed. I need somebody. If you've milked a cow and you have looked down in terror at a bong chamber because the smoke was too thick, I want that person. If you're that person, you need to email the show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Slow week on the emails. I will say that we've had a couple amazing weeks email-wise. This was a slow one. However, we did have a couple emails that we didn't get to last week. So we're going to be fine. But I'm saying, if we're going to keep up this Ask Gerbs epoch of this program, man, we got to get some randoms. I'm talking about just the random thing that comes up in your head. One sentence. You don't need to pen your opus. Just go ahead and get in to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Doc Med Pot says, I've milked cows and hit bongs, but not at the same time. We're starting somewhere. Let's start somewhere else as well. This one came in last week. I forget who sent it in. But it's from the BBC. Forget Hege, it writes. Let's all get pants drunk. Finally, a lifestyle trend that we can all get aboard with. Now, I know that we have spent a lot of time on trends on this program, mostly dating trends. However, I did not know that life trends are also a very popular thing. And more specifically, Nordic life trends are something that are apparently taking over the world. I didn't know that an anxious globe turns their eyes to the Nordics so we can understand better how to live our lives. But apparently this is such a thing that it's the fourth in on the trend, on the bandwagon. New Nordic lifestyle trend alert, writes Ashitha Nagith. No, wait, don't switch off, because unlike Hege, Lagom, or plogging, pants trunk is neither smug nor unattainable. Guys, we are in new rare air on this program. Because we were earlier just trying to do trends that we could make up words for. Shitty things that happen in the life of a single person who is on the market and dating that could happen. And yet we have totally ignored the idea that we could just come up with other foreign words that may or may not actually exist. Oak Dragon says, I must be out of it. I don't know what any of those are. You're not, Oak Dragon. I have fucking no idea what Hege, Lagom, or plogging is. Do we want to look? Let's look. All right. Hege. What is Hege? Because that is the thing that it is in the headline that we're not going to do. Hege is a heartwarming lesson from Denmark. Sitting by a fire on a cold night, wearing a woolly jumper while drinking mulled wine and stroking a dog, that's Hege. Eating homemade cinnamon pastries, watching TV under a duvet, tea served in a china set, family get-togethers on Christmas, they're all Hege too. Oh, wait, hold on. It's a Danish word pronounced hygge. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka. But it's coziness in English. Okay, well, Fucking boring. Don't care about that one. How about Lagome? Lagome. What the fuck do you guys think Lagome is? Because basically, Huga is literally just taking a very cozy photo on Instagram, right? Here's Lagome. Huga was so 2016. This has been going on for so long, you guys. This has been a fucking years-long campaign. How did I not know that there was a culture war between the British and the Nordic? Huga was so 2016, it's time for Lagome. So here we are, a new year, a new start, a new Scandinavian lifestyle buzzword. If 2016 was the year of Huga, 2017 is going to be about Lagome. Lagome, to learn from the faux pas that was Huga, we never quite knew how to pronounce. Lagome should be spoken as la, like in car. La, car, la, gome, like prom. Okay. La, glagom, lagom. That's it. Legume, Lego. Heron? It's generally translated as just the right amount and carries connotations of frugality, fairness, and balance. Kathleen Bryson, a PhD, graduated in evolutionary anthropology at UCL, calls Lagome a state of having not too much of one or the other, but a just right. Oh, so it's like neatly packing shit. God. So much better when all these were about fucking or the lack of it. Here we go. Plogging is the last one. The new pastime taking off in Sweden sees people going for a jog and at the same time picking up litter. Oh, this is just a regular portmanteau. So it's jogging and picking up litter while you're jogging. Fucking, all right. You want to know what? I'm immediately not as interested to hear about Scandinavian trends. You guys have fucking ruined it. I literally gave you guys three swings at the goddamn pinata, and it was whiff, whiff, whiff. It was, I like to take cozy photos with my family. It was, I like to take neat pictures. I like to be neat. And then it was, I like to be the most suffocating do-gooder on the planet. Right? Mullet says, Huga is not a trend. It's something we've always done in Denmark. That doesn't make it any better, Mullets. That indeed makes it worse. However, maybe in this trend, we can redeem the entire Scandinavian lifestyle. Firebrand says, I think the secret to Scandinavian happiness has more to do with the breadth and quality of their social services, job security and satisfaction and income. Come on. Are you going to be that guy? That guy? We're doing a bit. Here we go. Let's see if this redeems all of it. Pants drunk. Pants drunk is the anglicized word for the Finnish. I'm not even going to try it. Yes, I will. Kalsakrani. A term that literally means drinking at home alone in your underwear. Fuck yeah. And yes, in Finland, this is a fully fledged, nationally celebrized pastime. Yep. There's a little Freud. In fact, pants drunk is such an established part of Finnish culture that the country's Ministry of Foreign Affairs even talks about it in the guide to the country. But now, pants drunk is becoming a thing in the UK thanks to a new book by Finnish writer Miska Ratinen called Pants Drunk, The Finnish Art of Drinking at Home Alone in Your Underwear. That's the way to sell a fucking book, Miska. Move those units. In the book, Miska explains how Finn started drinking in their underwear as a way of coping with the country's long, dark winters when no one could be bothered to wear multiple layers and trek out to meet their friends. So they decided to stay at home in one layer and drink in the warmth instead. Now, here's the question that I would like to ask everybody here listening or watching live on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. I would imagine that drinking alone in your underwear is not something that necessarily needs a title. Indeed, it is a private moment of self-reflectance, if not indulgence. So do you need, in the modern era, in 2018, do you need to put your pants drinking on the gram? Do you need to tweet it out to let folks know that you are indeed engaging in a social trend? Or is this something that you're talking about on Monday at the water cooler? What did you do? Oh, I went to the music festival. What did you do? Well, my niece had a birthday party. What did you do? I got pants drunk. Is it something that you just mentioned after the fact, or do you own it? Is there a way that I can, here's what I'm saying. Is there a way that I can own the pants drunk brand here in America? Can I just tweet pictures of myself in my underwear drinking at home on Instagram and say, hey, everybody, are you pants drinking too? If I did that, would all of you guys back me up and also post pictures of yourself in your underwear, or at least point out that I'm a cool guy for doing it because I am indeed engaging in a Scandinavian trend? Oh, how forward-facing I am. I'm sure that I'm on the road to happiness by way of the quality of my social services, job security, and satisfaction and income. I can't wear tidy whities because this is going to be a naked play for me to get a MeUndies ad money. That's what I'm going to try and do. I'm going to try and turn my Instagram into just out-and-out viral marketing for fucking underwear subscriptions. Can I say this about MeUndies? I'm not sponsored by anybody, as you guys know, so I'll just make this point. I got a MeUndies subscription because I listen to podcasts, and therefore I've been told to get a MeUndies subscription roughly 75,000 times. But I'm starting to worry about the MeUndies. Here's why. When I subscribed to MeUndies, I said I would like the silly underwear. I wanted the silly underwear. I like silly underwear. I'm not a regular underwear kind of guy. I like patterns. I like silly shit. Put a pause on that. There was a time when I was working with Andrew Main. We were both living in Florida. That usually around 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we would go to lunch. So I would wake up around 10 o'clock. I would head into the warehouse where we had an office. I would do whatever mail we had for the day. I would post whatever we needed to do on the websites. And then I would go to meet Andrew. Now, at that point, Andrew was beginning his writing career. And so this is for the old heads, for the real ones. This is the Public Enemy Zero Chronological Man era, right? But he would write with techno music in the background on Pandora, which would always be constantly learning your algorithm. So all of a sudden, if you like this kind of techno and you don't skip it, then it's like, cool, you like this kind of techno to the point where you've not skipped it. We're going to keep giving you more shit like that. The problem is, and I don't know if this is the same for Pandora, But eventually you're creating an echo chamber. You think that you're kind of going wider, but really you're diving more and more into one thing. Like, I used to have a thing where I think I had a Decemberist radio on Pandora that would only eventually lead to the Shins. It would just be like, I would start with the Decemberists, and they would play a bunch of other Decemberist-y kind of songs, and then it would eventually just end on the Shins. It would just eventually turn into a Shins song, a Decemberist song, a Shins song, a Decemberist song. That would be it. And similarly, while Andrew was listening to this techno music and getting lost in his writing, he would eventually zone out. And I don't think he realized, until I pointed it out, how some of the techno music became creepier and creepier. Like, I would walk in and he would just have this, like, the kind of music that you would hear playing in the background while a serial killer was planning how to serial kill. It was just like a lot of like high-pitched whinnyings and menacing, like boom, 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 like it was just, it was horrifying. It was scary. It was terrifying. And I would walk up, I'm walking into Andrew's house where he's there alone, and all of I'm hearing is boom, 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 and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Am I gonna get murdered? And he's just like typing away, and he's like, what? I'm like, do you hear how fucking weird this music is? And he'd be like, oh, I hadn't noticed it in like 30 minutes. So, similarly, I feel like MeUndies has their own algorithm. Because they underwear is a very personal thing. And I think that they are taking educated guesses as the kind of shit that I would like, based on the fact that I told them I like silly underwear. Now, I don't want to say that the underwear that I have gotten over the last 3 months was, what's the polite way to say that my underwear has only been getting gayer and gayer for the past 3 months? Like, beyond, not even like underwear that you would imagine somebody who is cast, like out of central casting, if it's like, oh, we're in the gay club and there's a bunch of ripped dudes wearing underwear. It's not that. It's not like even like colorful boxer briefs or something. It's like gay iconography. Like, I'm just getting like pink underwear with rainbows and unicorns. And it's fine. Like, again, I like silly underwear, but I feel like it's like at some point should I be like, all right, no, let me switch back. Let me or switch for the first time to something that's a little bit more solid colors. Or, like, is it just going to get more and more forward going forward, right? Like, am I on the road to fuchsia fucking MeUndies that just say a boys club on the front? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's location tracking me. That's true. I don't know if I can rate it. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And by the bottom of this, I mean the bottom of my underwear. Where are we at? Oh, shit. We went long on that. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys a... I'm going to give you guys a choice here in the chat room. Do you want to talk about massage parlor surprises, or do you want to talk about a world record orgy attempt falling short? This is for the live audience here, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. If you are listening to me only, well, then you are always going to be invited, of course, on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That is 1 p.m. Eastern time. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can support the show by heading on over to twitch.tv/JustinRYoung any old time of the day and tying your Prime account to your Twitch account. If you don't have a Twitch account, you can set one up very easily. And you just subscribe for free. Amazon gives you $5 each month that you can subscribe to. If you've already done that once, a couple months ago, come back and do it again. For whatever reason, Amazon doesn't allow you to just auto-set it, so you always give me $5. You got to do it every month. It's a pain in the tush, but I appreciate anybody who is kicking in a little cash my way. All right. We're looking at failed orgy. All right. Looks like it's kind of 50-50. So I'm going to read the massage place thing. But the story is Vegas tried to hold the world's most populated orgy, which apparently is 500 people. They got made fun of for doing it on the Colbert show. And so they wound up having to move venues three times, probably put a damper on some people who thought that this was just going to be a low-key orgy record attempt. But they still wound up getting like 300 people. That's fucking insane. A 300-person orgy. That's a lot of orgy. Japan set the record, Daniel J. Newman. That is the record they were looking to beat, was 500-plus. Although apparently that's going to happen next year. They're going back at it next year. So everybody mark your calendars. Okay. This email came in last week. I'd like to share an experience that has a few ethical questions for which I'm sure I'm curious about other people's take. My wife and I have a $20 foot massage place that we visit together frequently. It's a dozen or so recliner chairs in a large room that fold down to a bed where your feet get soaked in hot water and they massage the rest of your body, fully dressed, and then work on your feet and legs for an hour. There are also private rooms for massage tables. Private rooms for table massages. Occasionally, while laying in the big room, we've heard men come in asking discreetly for a private massage and asking for a young female masseuse. We chuckle about the creepy dudes, as do the staff, because we assume there's no way that this place was giving dudes like him the jollies next to us. Well, I guess we were wrong. A few weeks ago, we went in, and I really wanted a table massage. My wife chose the chair, I undressed and got under the blankets. Everything was normal until the second half of the massage. After turning over, she crossed the line, reached over the blankets to touch my groin. I put my hand on her wrist, glared at her sternly, and said, "No." Immediately, the mood changed, and she clearly got scared and began muttering, "I'm sorry." I didn't want to comfort her by saying it's okay or it was a misunderstanding because I don't think it was okay. After the massage, I met with my wife in the lobby, and she became even more distraught when she realized that I the masseuse became even more distraught when she realized that I had come in with somebody. On the way home, I told my wife what had happened and remarked, quote, "I guess we won't be going back there again." Then she shocked me by remarking, "You're going to call the police, right? There's clearly prostitution going on, and these women are practically victims of human trafficking. Plus, that's sexual assault." I told her I'd talk to the community liaison at the LAPD, whom I work with through my job, about it and ask him what I should do. I didn't, and I probably won't. First off, here are the questions. Is a hand job even sex? Given the a given now at this kind of massage place. Years before, long before marriage, I paid a few times to go to a massage brothel with friends. It was taboo. We had to go to the worst parts of Hollywood and the San Fernando Valley after looking up ads in the back of the LA Weekly or the porn newsletters in the unmarked boxes in the corner. To the best of my knowledge, you couldn't just pick a random place that says massage and assume that you could pay for a sexual favor. Next, is working in a massage place de facto human trafficking? While it's not uncommon to be sponsored into a country and be given a place to stay while you work at a family restaurant, nail salon, or other business to repay your debt, it's possible that the men and women who work in these places are working under a similar arrangement. I see trafficking as being brought into the U.S. by smuggling, coercion, or some other means or force, or being forced to work in slave conditions, sometimes as a sex worker. Last and most disturbingly, was I sexually molested, and should I report it to the police? By pure definition, yes, I was touched inappropriately by in an unsolicited manner. But was I assaulted? I don't feel like I was. I want to read that as John Stossel. But was I assaulted? I don't feel like I was. Were someone in my position, should they feel the same? Of course not. Everyone's sensitivities are different. I'm torn about the police thing. I returned to my normal voice. On one hand, if this staff is being worked against their will, I need to expose the injustice. If it's an independently minded adult woman who's choosing to offer a hand job in exchange for a tip, is potentially bringing down the full force of a vice squad right for me to do, especially since I've patronized places like this in the past, I'm making my judgment calls based on my own set of ethics and morals, which is all I'd expect anyone else to do. I'm just curious what the feedback from other members of this community would be, and if any of them have had similar experiences. If I remember an early Night Attack album correctly, Brian Brushwood experienced the same. Yes, but that was out of the country. That was in Malaysia, I believe. And that is like, apparently at the mild end of what is normally expected for American business people to do in that hotel. Indonesia, sorry. Like, apparently the norm when you are a Whitey McWhite guy checking into the Indonesian hotel is you give the wink-wink and then you get a soft knock on your door 30 minutes after you check in. So here is the question. I'm going to put it out to everybody. Go ahead and email in justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Do you believe that this experience was sexual assault? Should he call the police? With the idea being that this might be something where the woman was explained, the woman who grabbed his dick was explained that here's the job. It's not your business to know if it's legal. It's your business to do the job or else you're going back where you came from. The vast majority of folks in here are saying that there should be no police involved. But I don't know. You always get different opinions via email. So go ahead and send it in, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. I would not call the police. Mostly by my own morals and ethics, not because she didn't violate a law, because I don't think that the law is valid. And I don't think that we are brought any closer to what I think would be the ideal world of that person being able to advertise that they would give you the old jaunty jerk for a price that is probably more than a massage place. Because I'm taking a wild guess and saying that the market rate for a hand job and the market rate for a massage are sometimes not in the same league. I would suspect that you'd be able to make more money on a legal hand job than you would a $30 to $40 massage that then happens to end in a happy ending. So I think that the only reason why people are going to these places for hand jobs are because, number one, there is a less stigma in, oh, I went to go get a massage, but then I secretly got my dick jerked. And also because it's probably cheaper. Now, while discretion is certainly something that I think will always be valuable, I prefer that in my perfect world, that would lead to Uber for hand jobs and not this being just the soft part of our market system, because we have laws that are ridiculous about this kind of stuff. So my personal idea would be you do not call the cops. However, I don't know. I feel like there should just be more. When are we going to start? Like, we have seen in this country a lot of vices change very quickly. In the last 5 years, we have seen mass decriminalization of weed, of gambling. If you are looking at the big vices, like why vice squads are put together, sex would be the next biggest thing, right? When are we going to get the sex worker movement? Ace Fox says, I love the nebulous market is used to as an excuse to cover up sexual assault and human trafficking. Again, I'm not saying this is good. I think this is bad. But I think that we have a lot of bad in this situation. So I would say for each player involved, you now need to rank the bad things and then make your decisions accordingly. So go ahead and send me your email, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Let's go ahead and get into our emails, and then we will get to our call with Tom Merritt. Scale writes, you're wrong about trolls. Last week I talked about the most important and powerful thing about trolling is changing the subject, forcing a topic of conversation, and that the inherent power of trolling is that the internet is basically a gigantic car full of friends for which have to go to lunch, and everyone is just trying to debate around, well, do you want Mexican or do you want sushi or do you want Taco Bell or do you want fast food or do you want sit down? We've all been in that car, right? And so the power of a troll is that while everybody is looking for a thing to talk about, they can make the thing to talk about. Scale says that I am wrong. You're wrong about trolls. You don't know what a troll is. It's okay. The term has been hijacked and is now synonymous with being a cunt online. But true trolling isn't about that. These butthurt Star Wars fans who are allegedly harassing Kelly Tran aren't trolls. They're just cunts. When it comes to Star Wars and trolling, the masterstroke is to do the opposite. See, we know The Last Jedi was hot garbage. But the best move is to say, oh no, we love The Last Jedi. If you hate it, it's because you're a toxic fan. This really gets the fanboys worked up, and it's glorious. The thing is, Kennedy knows The Last Jedi and Solo were garbage. It's born out of the numbers. But she has to troll. And for that, from one troll to another, respect. Deliberately destroying a franchise and then blaming it on the fans of the franchise, brilliant. Master for trolling. That said, Tran doesn't deserve the treatment that she allegedly received. But make no mistake, The Last Jedi was shit, and everyone knows it. Good emails, Scale. Let's move on. R-bombing is definitely... All right, so we've been asking people this was a shitty dating trend from a couple weeks ago. R-bombing is definitely when the person that you're dating is trying to keep their pirate identity a secret and you only find out when they let out an R during sex. And finally, this is something that I thought we were going to get way more. I thought we were going to get way, 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 way more emails on this. We have not. Apparently, my crowd does not get high. I'm sorry. There's no weed smokers listening to this right now. Nobody's listening to this podcast high at all. At all. Because I debuted High Thoughts last week. And we got a great email about if animals have pejoratives for each other. We got one High Thoughts email. One High Thoughts email this entire week. And this is it. I just smoked to get high so I would be allowed to email you for this segment. And instead, I coughed really, really hard and my throat hurts. So now we've injured people. Now we've injured people with High Thoughts. So I'm going to tell you what. We have to get at least a good high email next week, or else we're shutting it down. Because I can't have this on my head. I can't have it on my head that I'm hurting people. I'm sorry. That just can't happen. Let's see if we can get a ruling from Tom Merritt here. Talazarell says, can I just get high and send you a stream of consciousness? That's the fucking point! That's the idea of High Thoughts! There's always a lot of funny High Thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is Tom Merritt. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Just sitting here eating some Starburst.
Starburst, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What was your crazy sandwich thing yesterday on Twitter?
Oh, it was just a cheese and mustard sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Which, because Twitter was controversial, get some lunch meat, Merritt. Shut up. But I was looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to need some chips or something to fill out this lunch. Then I remembered I had Vegemite. So I put some Vegemite on the other side with the cheese between the mustard and the Vegemite. It was super satisfying.
How often would you say, or let's put it by percentages of all sandwiches you make yourself, how many are without lunch meat?
70%.
So the majority.
Yeah. I have a little bit of salami that I'll throw on sometimes.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to just say this right now. I am aware that my sandwich making habits are not only iconoclastic and unusual, but downright offensive to many. So you may want to turn away when I say the next words that I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
But regularly, my sandwich makings are some kind of cheese and mustard, and then maybe salami, maybe kipper snacks, or kimchi, or some combination.
Wow. This is a revelation. I feel like I've never known this about you.
I mean, I ate a kipper snack sandwich with kimchi on it while you were sitting on my couch watching Westworld.
I would have never known. I'll tell you what.
How would you know?
I couldn't. I mean, I guess I never, unless I would have leaned over and said, yo, dog, what's in that sandwich?
Right, exactly. I mean, you were too busy going like, whoa, this is the best Westworld episode they've ever made.
So it was a pretty good Westworld episode. I'll tell you that. All right. We have a few things that we want to bring up with you. Tom, have you ever heard of being pants drunk?
Pants drunk. No, I have not.
Have you ever heard of hygge?
I don't think so.
How about lagom?
No, definitely not.
And finally, plogging.
Not pogs. Plog.
No, plog.
Right. No, they're not.
These are all Scandinavian life trends.
Ooh, really?
So hygge is you just taking a very cozy picture, like sitting in front of a fire with your family around you, sipping on some eggnog, maybe, right? Lagom is you, I guess, demonstrating through social media that you are a very neat and tidy person.
And I'm assuming these are like Swedish or Finnish words that probably make a little more sense if you understand them, right?
Yes.
All right.
Lagom is Swedish. Huga is Danish.
Okay. Okay.
And plogging is an English portmanteau.
Okay.
Of jogging and picking up littering.
Oh, interesting. But I believe I may have plogged in the past.
You might have, but yeah. did you do it on purpose?
No, certainly not. No, it was more of a, let's put it, I didn't say I'm going to go out plogging. I was on a jog and I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick that up, throw it in the trash can right over there.
Tell you what, here, you want to know what here? The pants drunk is when you get drunk in your underwear.
Oh, I've definitely been pants drunk.
Yeah. So you're like alone, like you're not going out, you're just drinking in your underwear.
Because I qualify either way. I'm just curious.
Yeah. To which I thought, like, do you now in 2018, this apparently has been a thing for a long time in Finland. But in 2018, do you need to be like tweeting about it for it to be a thing?
Is this a tree falls in the forest kind of question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you drink alone on your couch in your underwear by yourself and you don't tweet about it in 2018, did it really happen?
Or vice versa. Is it truly pants drunk if you're telling people, because then you kind of aren't alone anymore?
Yeah. That is true. All right, here, let me ask you a more serious question that you can get out on. So you are the reason why I live in Oakland. Because you lived in Oakland, and I moved in with Brett when I first moved out here, who now lives in your old apartment.
Let me just say that the obvious joke that I'm not making, because I don't mean it, is, and that's why I don't live in Oakland.
And now you have since moved away.
Mm-hmm.
Now there is this very troubling new trend that I'm not sure how to deal with. And it is white people behaving badly around your former neighborhood, my current neighborhood.
Right. There have been a couple of instances of memes.
Yeah.
I actually lived in Oakland back when the Oakland Police Department casual pepper spray meme took off. So it's not like Oakland hasn't fostered memes before, but now it's white people complaining about things that black people are doing memes generally.
Well,
right.
The first one was definitely it was Barbecue Betty.
Right.
As she was later coined, where she was enforcing. I mean, this is just being a bad person. Like she was like, there's a side of the lake for which is very popular for barbecuing of all age, races, creeds, and colors on Sundays. But Oakland is a very black city. It's a very, you often can see a lot of black people out there. But she was calling the cops because they were charcoal grilling in a place where you're technically not allowed to charcoal grill.
Right.
Which is just get fucking bent. Like, I get it if she's like, you know, they dump all the coals into the ground.
Right.
But they were just getting set up. Right? Whatever. The one that happened recently, while I was actually right next to you when I saw the video for the first time, is a guy who was throwing away a gigantic, there's like a homeless guy who lives in this area. There's like this thing. I don't know. How would you describe that structure in Adams Point?
Which one?
The one, the gates, basically, that kind of like you can look to the other end of the lake and like look downtown. They have like columns.
Oh, right. There's a name for that thing. It's like a pavilion or something.
Yeah. So there's a couple homeless people that live in there. It is a gathering place for the city. For example, when the ghost ship fire happened, that was where everybody posted their like remembrances and flowers and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
But there's a homeless guy that lives there. I run by him every day. He's got a bunch of stuff piled up against the corner. And somebody apparently took it on themselves, Jogger Joe, as he became coined, to throw this guy's stuff away.
And once again, it's not, it's like with the barbecue. If they were doing something that was harmful and you call them in, fine. But if they're not hurting anyone, why are you calling the fuzz? This is like, if you want to call and complain, like, hey, this guy's been living here. He really shouldn't be. It's, you know, it's a hazard. Fine. Taking it upon yourself to throw his possessions, his few possessions away, just that's a dick move.
Yeah. And so a fair amount of his shit ended up in the lake. In the video, he says it's a mistake. Whatever. He's a dick for moving the stuff to begin with, whether or not it ended up in the lake. I don't know how to handle this. Like, I mean, like, do I walk around saying, like, don't worry, I'm not going to be a dick. Like, I'll never call the cops. Like, I don't know. I like, should I'm curious, as you being another Oakland resident, is there any wisdom that you can impart?
No. I am horrible in those kinds of situations because I'm just paranoid enough to always assume that anyone I don't know is probably thinking I'm part of whatever their problem is.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a nightmare situation for me, where I'm going to be like, man, they all think that I'm going to be the next one to, you know, throw stuff in the lake or call in the BBQ. The best I can do is just sort of be nice, you know, smile. Don't act weird. Try not to act weird. I'm a weird guy, but you know, just do your best and get on with it. It's not your responsibility to change it one way or the other. As long as you're not adding to the problem,
yeah,
I think that's kind of all you can hope for.
Here's all I know is that although my rent is high for literally anybody that I talk to in any other part of the country, except for New York and maybe London, it is still very cheap for Oakland. So at least, like, I don't feel too terrible with the gentrification.
mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still in the, if my apartment were to be vacated tomorrow, it would be worth $1,000 more a month club.
Sure. Yeah. And that's always the weirdness in living. Like, I lived in the Mission. I lived Lake Merritt. I lived Inner Sunset, not so much, but Mission in Oakland particularly, places where you're kind of, they're up and coming, which is cool. And everybody wants to live there because of that. And even the people that used to live there talk about, like, hey, we got this cool new restaurant or this cool new bar. But then the downside is, and we also got these very not cool new people moving in. And is that the price of getting the cool new restaurant, the cool new bar? Because I'm not sure if it's worth it.
I also think that that's kind of the problem with Oakland now, is that it's here. Like, it's not up and coming. It's here. Like, we're on the third generation of the cool restaurants that open up. And now that also, like, Uber and Lyft, like, ride sharing has kind of bridged a little bit of the gap of the bridge. There used to be, you know, San Francisco folks were much like the Dothraki with the Great Salt Sea. They could not fathom crossing the bridge into Oakland.
No, I remember some dear friends of mine, let me just call them Veronica and Vian, once told me, oh, we will not go to Oakland. And it wasn't because they were afraid of Oakland. It was too far. Like, that's just too far. Why would we go all the way over there?
Yeah. Now that's gotten a little bit better, at least.
Yeah.
It's not quite what it used to be in terms of folks just refusing to go from one place to another. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's weird. It is definitely a weird situation, because my one instinct, as channeled by Ninja Steve in our chat room, says that I should just be walking around in a t-shirt that says "not a narc." Like, that's just kind of what I want to do.
I mean, honestly, that's a good conversation starter, right? Like, you might make some new friends. So who knows? Maybe that's not such a bad idea.
All right. Not a narc t-shirt. It's coming soon from Stickers or DIAF.
Yeah. Get them in the store now.
Tom, your book funded?
Yes.
That's pretty much it.
I'm sorry. I thought I was interrupting you. Yes, no, it funded. Thank you, everybody, for supporting it on Inkshares. And if you didn't support it on Inkshares, it's not too late. You still can. You still get perks even. But yeah, it got to the 750 mark. So it's definitely going to be published. I've sent off the manuscript. I filled out the little questionnaire that you have to fill out at the beginning of the publication process. And the slow wheels of real publication now begin to grind. And it's, you know, it's sort of my job now to say, I know I hyped you up for the last 3 months to buy the book. You're going to have to wait till next year for it to come out, because that's how real publishing works. It takes time because of editing, because of layout, because of art, and because of marketing and because of timing. Publishers don't want to put all their books out at the same time because they'll undermine each other's sales. So they have a calendar they have to set things into and stuff like that. So it will probably, best guess, we don't have a date yet, but it'll probably be around next March that it comes out. But I'll keep people up to date as we get, as new steps happen. And try to like share the potential cover art and stuff like that at inkshares.com. So it's still, you'll still get to see the process as it happens.
Did you like Wet Hot American Summer?
Nah, it was never my thing.
I didn't realize that this was a controversial movie until today.
Oh, I didn't realize it was controversial. I just never really saw it.
Well, I guess not controversial in that it does things that will offend. You will be offended if you watch it. But more that I thought it was kind of universally beloved as a cult comedy. And then I posted.
Yeah, that's my impression of it, too. And I'm just one of those people like, oh, it just, you know, not everybody likes every single thing. That one never really caught my eye. Maybe if I sunk more time into it, I'd love it too. Or maybe if I'd seen it when it first came out, because some of it has to do with nostalgia. But yeah, are there people actively against it?
Yes, I found this out this morning because I just had this the scene from the movie. Spoiler alert for a movie that came out pre 9/11. That one of the main characters is driving. It's like a very peaceful scene, and he's singing "Chain of Love." And then just out of nowhere, like, you don't see anything pop in front of him. He just goes, ah, and he crashes into a tree. That's like, okay. it's absurdist and it's silly and it's funny, but like much of that movie. But I posted that video and your friend and mine are our co-host Scott Johnson was like, that movie sucked ass.
Oh, wow. Really? Scott didn't like it.
Scott, like, not only didn't like it, but wanted to make a point that he didn't like it.
Yeah.
Like,
that
level
like
of dislike.
Huh. That's interesting.
I don't know. I guess it was just comedies in general, I think, are a little, you know, hit or miss. And that is certainly a specific kind of comedy. But what's crazy is that people kept saying, like, oh, but I like the Netflix series. It's like,
that's kind of weird. Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't understand how you could not like the movie but then like the Netflix series, because it's like the exact same kind of humor,
right?
I don't know. All right, I just wanted to ask you, Tom, anything else that you want to talk about?
No, we got about 20 minutes before we need to like set down this lineup, so I don't know what if we want to have a main story, if we just want to do expanded top stories, but that's what I'm up to next. Daily Tech News Show.
What do we got in the main story section?
You know, there's a few options. We could have a little longer talk about Apple disabling the iPhone Lightning port after an hour of a phone being locked, which is being reported as in order to thwart law enforcement, which is not why they're doing it. And we could talk about that a little more extended. Snapchat's move to create an API and really emphasize that it limits what information can be shared in that API, and they're going to approve everybody that uses it, which is a smart move by Snap.
Yes.
And then a couple others might be this EU law that would put a link tax on, that it's going to be voted on in a few days at a committee. It's worse than ACTA or SOPA PIPA or any of that kind of stuff. And Sony's horrible response, or pretty much lack of response, to people being angry about Fortnite not cross play from the Switch to PS4.
Is there anything that really bites you in the ass?
I mean, I can definitely go into an explanation on this EU thing of like, hey, this probably put you to sleep when you read the headline. Let me tell you why you should care. You know, first of all, even if you're not in the EU, as we saw with GDPR, EU laws definitely affect people outside the EU. The Snapchat thing, I could probably talk a little bit about, and I always like explaining the Apple thing, although I'm not sure that that needs a longer
discussion. Yeah, I think that that's something that kind of gets less interesting the more you talk about it.
Yeah,
the Snapchat thing, I think, is a good larger meta topic about Snapchat itself, mm-hmm. because I think this is kind of overdue for Snapchat, and it's interesting because social media APIs, once kind of the lifeblood of that entire industry, have been in a very weird place since Twitter decided to be very restrictive about third-party apps. But I kind of think that the most DTNS main topic is the EU thing.
Yeah.
Like that's the you had to hear it on DTNS kind of topic.
Yeah, I it's got that flavor. You're absolutely right.
All right. Well, you're going to have to listen to that podcast to get all that information. That is the Daily Tech News Show. It happens 5 days a week, and very often, two of those 5 days, I'm on it. And this is one of them days on Thursdays. All right, buddy. I will see you there.
All right. Thanks, man.
Peace out. And that about wraps it up for us, ladies and gents. What do you say that you go follow me on all the social media at Justin R. Young? A reminder that if you want to support this show, it is patreon.com/JURY. Also, and furthermore, email the show justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line, and you can hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. Folks, if you find yourself missing out on the world's biggest orgy, if you find yourself getting your dick grabbed out of the massage parlor, if you are currently getting pants drunk, if you're trolling the topic of trolling, well, ladies and gentlemen, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young reminding you. One simple thing, folks, know that I am whispering in your ears at all times, 24/7, 365, to please don't.
Do you like the way you're dressed up? Do you like how your hair gets cut? Do you like when your friends fuck up?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.